You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And the warmest of welcomes to everybody. Welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast here at William Hill, hosted by myself, Bobby Beavers, and I am delighted to be joined by the Mountie, Andrew Mount. How are you?
Greetings, Bobby. Yeah, all right, thank you very much. Not so bad. Rested and relaxed and enjoying the sunshine.
Yeah, absolutely glorious. I've seen temperatures up to 23 degrees.
Fantastic.
Yeah, definitely.
What's that in old money, Bobby, for us old timers?
23 degrees. You'd have to help
that's
me out.
That's your homework.
Next time
I'm in, I want you to tell me.
Yes, sir. I will do that, sir. I'll do my homework, sir, I promise. Great to see you. And before we get your selections and look ahead to the racing on Sunday afternoon, we need to talk first about yesterday and the all-weather finals day at Lingfield. Firstly, before we talk about Catchy in the all-weather sprint, I do want to talk about the 4:15, which was the Easter Classic all-weather middle distance champions condition stakes. Wissahickon, the red-hot favourite at 1-3, but it was Matterhorn that was the winner at 9-2. Very impressive yesterday for Mark Johnson and Joe Fanning.
Yeah, and Ken was waxing lyrical about this one in the paddock before racing. And he was given a very good tactical ride as well, because he had gone off too hard when beaten in a Kempton listed race at odds on the 30th of March. That was when he was bidding for a six-timer. But different tactics this time, and Joe Fanning just was content to track the leaders this time rather than get too heavily involved in a pace war. And he absolutely cruised through the race, and not only did he upset the long odds on favourite Wissahickon, he did so by seven lengths, absolutely slammed him. And William Hill Radio's Tom Morley was happy with the run of Pactolus in third at 40-1. Yeah, not beaten far for second, so he picked up over 18 grand in prize money for that third place. So yeah, it was a cracking run, and yeah, Matterhorn just looks a horse going places now. It's 7 wins from 9 on the all-weather. He's not had many opportunities on turf. He had one run at Pontefract in maiden company last year, finishing third as the 13-8 favourite. But if he can transfer any of that improvement he's shown over the winter on the all weather back to turf, then he's going to be a very, very exciting prospect. So fascinating to see where he goes next.
And it wasn't just this Mark Johnson runner that beats odds on favourite, because the second race on the card, the 2 o'clock, the all-weather marathon championships condition stakes, Watersmeet was the winner there, returning at 7-1. Joe Fanning also on board as well, beating the red-hot favourite Amar, the French horse.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Watersmeet. He's got a fantastic record on the all-weather. And normally he was the sort who would go best from the front in small fields, best when able to dominate. But again, a change of tactics, very shrewdly ridden by Joe Fanning here, and came from mid-division and was able to hold off the French Raider by more than two lengths, and that's made it 13 wins from 29 all-weather starts. Now, not so good on turf this one, 2 from 24, so perhaps be wary of him if he switched to grass next time out. But yeah, take nothing away from the 8-year-old, this was a great performance.
It was a fantastic performance, and it was also a sensational performance as well in the 3:05 from Catchy in the all-weather sprint championships. You know, he must be an absolute delight to own.
He's a machine. He's got to be my favourite horse in training at the moment. So, and the thing about Catchy is he needs to go around a left-handed turn. He lugs and hangs to the left in his races. When he runs on straight tracks on turf, he loses so much ground by shifting to the left that it normally results in defeat. Now, he has sort of won on turf before, but it was when he was hard up against the standside rail at Goodwood, so he couldn't go any further to his left, and that was back in 2015. But I think he's had 9 runs left-handed now, and he's won 8 of them, all at sort of likes of Lingfield, Chester, Wolverhampton. And his only left-handed defeat came in this all-weather championships last year when he was beaten by the French raider City Light. Now, I'm not sure, but it's a combination of he did far too much too soon that day and just went off like the absolute clappers at sort of 5 furlong pace in a 6 furlong race, or whether it was the fact that he's improved since he's had his wind tinkered with. Mm-hmm. It's 3 from 3, back from wind surgery now, 2 at Lingfield, 1 at Wolverhampton. But again, it's a horse to be wary of if he runs on turf next time, because those group races over straight tracks, 5 and 6 furlongs, don't really suit him. I mean, he did go close at Haydock last year, was 3rd behind Batash in the Group 2 Temple Stakes, beating a head and a short head. And again, the Racing Post comments, good early speed, went left to far rail, led, ridden over, one out, 2 lengths clear entering the final furlong, collared by winner, last 25 yards, lost second, last stride. So again, you know, were the stalls that's over the far side and they began life over there, you'd imagine he'd have won. And again, he's run well at Royal Ascot previously, despite going from one side of the track to the other in the Commonwealth Cup behind Quiet Reflection in 2016. Was a 14-1 shot, began to hang left entering final 2 furlongs, went badly left over 1 furlong out. I mean, if you're being sort of cynical and money and orientated, you just say this horse probably should have been sold to race in the United States 3 years ago, where they raced left-handed and he could have racked up a string of Grade 1 victories. But then we wouldn't have got the opportunity to see him race in this country and enjoy those victories that like yesterday. So, yeah, I hope he gets some luck with the draw and he ends up on, you know, up against a rail to his left on in some of these straight track group races on turf this year, because I'd love to see him win a group race on grass.
Do you think he'll turn up at the Chester May meeting again? Because when he was second in the sprint 12 months ago, he turned up at Chester and it was very impressive that day, because as we know with the Rudy, some horses thrive off it, some horses absolutely hate it, and he didn't have the best draw either. He was actually he had the widest draw.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, he's draw proof because he's got so much early speed. It does. If there were 14 runners at Chester and he was in 14, it wouldn't matter. It would be the equivalent of stall one, because no one would be able to live with him and he'd get to the rail. It's actually, as a punter who loves the horse and knows he's so much better left-handed, it's effectively like a Grade 1 horse running in great Class 3 races. You want that wide draw because you're getting a bigger price. I mean, he was a SP of evens for that race last year. He won by 9 lengths. It was incredible. Joyous to watch.
Yeah.
But, I don't know whether that sort of conditions, Class 3 conditions race will be on the cards. Then maybe they'll just go straight to Haydock for the Temple Stakes.
If we look ahead to racing on Sunday afternoon, Easter Sunday, there's so much racing to enjoy. There's racing over now at Cork and Fairy House. There's quite a lot of jumps racing over here as well at Plumpton Market Racing, at Foss Lass as well. Of course, it is the West Wales National to enjoy at Foss Lass. Plus, there's several races on the all weather at Southall. What will be your 2 selections? Are you going to Southall?
I'm going to Southall, as you suspect, given my liking for flat racing, in particular all-weather racing. Yeah, interesting note that at Foss Lass they're watering the track, which is something that very rarely happens there, because it's normally soft, heavy in places.
Yeah, ground at the moment.
In high summer. Now, the interesting thing about Southall of late is that
the pot flood lights up.
That's one good thing. Well, but most of the winter, the inside's been absolutely fine. Traditionally at Southall, over the years, stall worn over 6 furlongs, 7 furlongs a mile on the sort of shorter trips on the round course has been a bad draw. But the inside has been absolutely fine most of the winter, probably because of the lack of rainfall and the surface doesn't get washed towards the inner, doesn't get deeper. But certainly since it's been a bit warmer and in the current month, it's been very powdery and perhaps it's getting deeper again towards the inside. Maybe the wind's sort of taking the sand over there and it's not as evenly distributed as it has been earlier in the winter. And looking at the 6 furlong to 1 mile draw stats so far in April, the winners have come from stalls 9 of 11, 10 of 11, 14 of 14, 4 of 5, 10 of 12, 4 of 12, 7 of 8, 5 of 7. That's handicaps only. So only one winner has not come from one of the top 2 or 3 stalls. It's the same even over a mile and a half or further. 5 handicaps, 4 of the winners were drawn in one of the top 3 stalls. So I'm looking for that same bias to be evident on Sunday. So we've got some very open, competitive, tricky-looking racing, but maybe if we sort of side with the higher drawn runners, we can perhaps get a bit of an edge here. So the first race, I was quite interested in Fly True from stall 9 of 14. The mare appreciated the step back up to 7 furlongs
yep.
when winning here last time, beating a horse called Joyful Dream, who is very consistent but very hard to win with, and that one reopposes here. But I might just... sort of take a chance with Essential here, a course and distance winner coming out of stall 13 of 14 for Ollie Williams. So yeah, playing the draw here.
Yeah,
this one was a runner-up at Southall a couple of runs ago over 6. Stayed on, found the trip on the sharp side. Next time out, went to Wolverhampton over the extended mile. Finished a respectable 5th. So I think this the return to this in-between trip is going to suit. So we're back at 7 furlongs. Essential from stall 13 of 14. Hopefully can continue the good form for high-drawn runners.
Essential then. And what's going to be your second selection? Also at Southall.
Also at Southall. this one goes in the 4:45. This is over a longer trip. And this is a horse called Tigray. Coming out of stall 7 of 7. Now, I'm not sort of too fussed about the draw here, but a couple of interesting things about Tigray. It's by the sire Tappet, who's been a good sire so far on the all-weather. 10 winners from 36 runners. This one was ex-Joseph O'Brien trained, and he made his British debut at Chelmsford just the other night. This was on the 18th of April, on Thursday night. I was there. He ran behind a horse called Lord Lamington. Now, Lord Lamington is a progressive Mark Johnson stayer who really caught the eye at Newcastle a few runs ago when slamming his rivals from when racing on the slowest part of the track towards the inside. Now, this was only a 4-runner race, and Tigray was weak in the betting, started at 16-1. But he actually travelled pretty well in the race, and for a breath, you thought he might actually upset the Mark Johnson trained 2-1 second favourite. He's gone down 3 lengths in second, but he's finished 4.5 lengths clear of the Archie Watson runner Surrey Warrior, and the odds on favourite See You Soon for Andrew Balding was 9 lengths behind him back in fourth. Now, given Mick Appleby's sort of liking for having winners at Southall, you would imagine this was always the plan. Have a sort of first run for the yard, first run since leaving Ireland. Sort of getting to know you exercise at Chelmsford, and then switch to Fibersand and go for the win. So Tigray in the 4:45 at Southall on Sunday would be my second selection.
Great stuff there, Mounty. Pleasure to work with you as always.
Cheers, Bobby, and you.
Tune in to William Hill Racing Radio on Sunday afternoon. John Gibby, Paddy Aspel and John Budden, all your team, take you through all of the action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.